How many of you just are thankful for the sense of the tender mercies of the Lord here this morning? There are, it's as if some of us maybe have gone through some harsh winds and been buffeted and had some things happen. You can be discouraged, you can be whipped, you can have all kinds of things go wrong, but when you come before the Lord, He'll make it all right. And here's how He does it. He does something to show that He's greater within your life than anything else. How many of you know it's when His love is manifest to you, you feel a great encouragement begin to rise within you, and the Lord's love is our security to us. You want to be rooted and grounded in it. We can touch base with that a little bit later. Last week, we began this two-part series. Maybe it'll be more down the road, but we did talk about the different soils or heart conditions that Jesus explained that this parable was so important that if you didn't understand this one, you wouldn't really get any of them. You wouldn't really understand the whole thing. So He kind of made a point that this particular parable, the parable of the sower and the seed and the four different kinds of soil, was a big deal of understanding the human heart and how the seed of the Word of God can come and produce or not. And there are many people who, like we talked about last Sunday, are trampled on and they have hard hearts. How many of you can relate to some place of your life where you were trampled down and the seed of God's love just bounce off, boop, boop, and you go for years thinking God doesn't care about me, but you hear the gospel and bounces off until maybe you get so sick and tired of your life to where you go, maybe there's something that can help me. I'm tired of drugs. I'm tired of everything else that I'm trying to doctor myself with. And then God says, great, I designed your heart that I would fill it with my love and you would have a peace that you've never had in any other thing before except for me. And I'm the Prince of Peace and I come to give you peace. I come to love you more fully and more completely than anybody ever can or ever will. I will love you perfectly and fully to the depths of your heart when you're willing to open up to that. And Jesus calls us into His presence to live His life with Him. And He calls this kind of thing discipleship. When Jesus walked with His disciples on the earth, when God Almighty came down to earth and lived as a man with His Father's blood, perfect, sinless, and yet as He gathered these other men around Him, they begin to see something because Jesus ministered, He says He was moved with compassion. And His compassion moved, and He touched people and did things that were extraordinary. And the whole point of it is the sense of what we call the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus came to take our sins upon Himself and be nailed to a cross and allow the wrath of God toward you and me and every person on the earth to be poured out on Him. And it was poured out, and God got all of the wrath for all of the sin of all of mankind poured out once and for all. And He's not going to do it again. Jesus took it all. And all we need to do is come, not with good looks, not with your smarts, not with money, not with anything except one thing, a willingness to give you your sin to Him, and He gives you His righteousness to you, and He declares you perfectly loved, perfectly fine in His eyes. Isn't that wonderful? And it's that Jesus taught, that Jesus lived, that Jesus was about. On the back of your notes, there's three verses before we get to the passage when we get it. It says, go therefore and what? Make disciples. What kind of disciples? Disciples that know that Jesus will do what you can't do inside of you. Jesus will do for you what you can't do on the inside of you. When you run out, His love, His grace is made perfect in your weakness. How many of you run out of gas and found out Jesus is loaded? How many of you figured I better just come to Him every day because He's got it going on and I don't? You see that kind of relationship? We'll get to that in a little while because this is real true discipleship. real true discipleship is, it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's the first verse. I just want to declare that Jesus is saying, I want to have people that take on my heart, my love, my values, my conduct, my thinking, my aim in life, and go through whatever they have to go through to become all that they can be with and through me. This is what the Lord is about. If you've been through a trial lately, it's probably a refining. Maybe it's a door you opened that you shouldn't have, and it's created a trial. Or maybe it's just toughen it through some things. But when you give yourself completely over to Him, God makes sure. I've been working on Psalm 34. He says, verse 5, I think, it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. How many of you feel like that guy? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. That's the commitment the Lord has made. If you will come and put your and lean on Him and draw upon Him, He'll show up and do things you could never do, ever do. You're just stuck in your head. You're just stuck in your head. It's trying to figure out how many of you got stuck in your head so much you're sick and tired of your head. Until you humble your heart and the strongholds of your mind begin to crack and come down, and you realize there's someone who has authority over every single thing forever. And Jesus will take care of the problems of your mind. He'll do it by His loving Spirit that rises up in you. Now let's look at the next verse, because this is just getting into the subject here. Matthew 24, 12, and 13. Because, now look, this is the last days that we're in. Because lawlessness will be increased. Everybody say, lawlessness. It's increasing. Because of that, the love of many will grow cold. Isn't that an effect that lawlessness has? When lawlessness is happening and you're pushing wrong is right and right is wrong, it causes people to just bristle up and have a tough time, and love grows cold. But this is the promise that Jesus gives. This is Jesus talking. This is some stout stuff. Jesus wasn't your little meek, mild little pansy-mansy. He was God in flesh, and He called it like He saw it. And He said this. He says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Do you have Him in your life so that you can endure to the end? And sometimes Jesus just says stuff and it makes me go, oh man, I got to get my act together. Have you ever had little get your act together phrases by Jesus? Here's one of them. This will make you either bristle or break. Ready? Jesus said in the next verse, Luke 9:62, Jesus said to them, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I didn't hear one hallelujah. To the vacillating heart, I don't like Jesus right now, right? That you're not fit. Jesus says you're not fit. You're not fit. You put your hands to the plow, you start following me. What's the hands of the plow all about? It's about breaking up fallow ground. You want to take the analogy deeper? It's like breaking up everything that's resistant and hard in you and your heart that resists all that He would have for you. I could list a bunch of stuff right now, but I don't want to because I don't want to get distracted by our sinfulness. Our sinfulness is so great. And the church culture of today is so lightweight. It's so superficial. There's people don't even know what the Bible says, not even rooted in anything, but just it's pathetic. It's pathetic. We don't know what the Bible says. Our lives are. I want to live the way I want to live because that's the way I want to do it. And then your life is all jacked up with problems, and you're like, "Well, how'd you get there?" I thought that it would be okay living in disobedience to God. Wow, really? Yeah, how's that working out for you? Not so much. Right? So I want to look at this. Oh, by the way, let me tell you this. This is kind of cool. This is lighting it up a little bit. A disciple is a person with a lot going on below the surface that you can't really see. Let's go ahead and put up the picture. That's a picture of a duck. Duck looks cool, calm, and collected above the water. But he's got a lot going on underneath. He's paddling and paddling and paddling. That is the mature Christian. He's not going downstream. He's fighting the current. He's going. There's stuff happening that you don't see. He's making it. Isn't that right? Let's see what I have. I'm going to read a passage of scripture from Mark 4, 14 through 20, and then we'll continue. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So that's the first soil. The second one we'll deal with today. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones when they hear the word immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves but endure for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So we'll look at that today. And others are the ones that sown among thorns. And those are who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And lastly, those are the ones sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So when you're turning back over on your fill in the blank there, I just want us to look at this. What would you go ahead and rate your heart? Rate your heart. In other words, am I hard soil? Am I rocky soil? Am I weed-infested soil? Or am I good soil? And you can put down like 5% hard, I don't know, maybe 15%, you know. You can fudge around with it. Just be nice to yourself. How many of you have been just really, really roughing it out? Because these are four different heart conditions. And your heart can be trampled on like the hard soil. Or you can have a heart that's, you've gone through a lot of, I call it the rocky heart. It's like a turbulent upbringing, just tough times. A rocky soul are those with a turbulent past. Now, if you would be so kind, let's go back, flip over the page back to the backside, and there's the bottom part. It says, other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. Focus with me here. Let's look at this. Where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched since it had no root. Everybody say, had no root. It withered away. Luke says, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew, it withered because it had no moisture. Everybody say, had no moisture. Okay. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves. Let's say that. Have no root in themselves, but endure for a while, and then when persecution or tribulation or persecution arises, everybody say, on account of the word. This is important stuff. This is so important. Immediately they fall away. I have another picture. This is a tumbleweed. This is a plant that has no root. It's the best thing I could find. Tumbleweed people spring up, and the pressure comes, and they roll away. Tumbleweeds, they roll away. They roll from place to place. Never have enough root to hold them in one place, never grow up. You know, when you are attending a church, and you attend this church, and attend that church, and attend this church, and attend that church, but when you think about becoming a member of a church, you limit your options to go to other places. You say, I need to put my roots down. Right? And then you say, I'm going to be there. And then you make a commitment. And when you make a commitment, you do the things that commitment calls you to. You become a supportive person in that. And there's a pathway of growing and a pathway of serving, and there's a pathway of things to come up. And the more you take on another place of service, the less options you have. You begin to sow into lives. How many of you are happy of the good spirit of love that you sense when you come in here? That's everybody's adding to that. Everybody's doing that. And then you continue to grow, and there's other aspects of your certain people that say, you know, I think I want to really serve in this way. And there's ways to begin to develop in your personality, in your giftings, and all those things. You're no longer a tumbleweed. You say, I want my life to count. This is where I believe God's put me. He's placed me here. I want to be here. I want to receive the goodness. There's a treasure chest of good things available in this house. There are deep and wonderful things, a treasure chest that can be opened. There are wonderful wealths of not only revelation, but ministry giftings that Jesus will open to you as you are here. There will be moments where you will feel like, I don't know if I want to go as deep as the Lord wants to go in me. Have you ever been there before? You kind of resist, but the Lord says, no, I want every, this is Jesus. Jesus is like this. He goes, you see, when I'm going to populate heaven with people that are a reflection of what I am. And there's some stuff in your life that's just, it's kind of like a blurred mirror. We got to work on that. Aren't you glad that a blurred mirror is not such a heavy term? How many of you know you've had stuff? How many of you, I still have stuff. I still have stuff. I still have stuff. Jesus knows my stuff. He says, Lord, you've searched me and you've known me. You know my path. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you discern all my thoughts from afar. How many of you have the YouVersion Bible app? No? Anybody got the YouVersion Bible app? They've downloaded millions of these in the last couple of years. Millions and millions of people around the world have downloaded the Bible app. You know what they said last year? They said the most looked up scripture in all scriptures. You know what it was? It was this one. Fear not. Was it? Here you go. It's this one, Isaiah 41:10. Now look at this. It's got two I ams and three I wills. I fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Let's say it together. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Most looked up scripture. Why? I think it's really simply because people are tired of being tumbleweeds. I think it's simply that I need a God I can trust in. I need a God that I know who He is for me and what He will do for me. How many of you need to be strengthened? How many of you need some help? How many of you appreciate it when He upholds you? And He is the God that says, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I am with you and I am your God. This is easy because all to memorize this said there's two I ams and three I wills. That'll help you get it. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In other words, I'll put it right for you. Lift your head just for a moment there, just before the Lord. I feel like the Lord's saying that to some people in here, that you've been trying to figure it out on your own, and the Lord's saying, I'm here with you, so don't be afraid. I'm here with you. I'm your God, so don't be dismayed anymore. I'm here, I've made a commitment to you. And I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to uphold you. I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to uphold you. I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to uphold you. Listen, the Lord is saying to somebody here, I'm going to strengthen you now. You've been broken down. I'm going to give you the strength now. I'm going to cause it to happen. So don't be afraid, because I'm with you. Open up your heart all the way and receive this. The Lord put this on my heart and said, this is something that my people need to hear. There's ones within the sound of my voice right now that you need to know that the Lord God Almighty says, I'm going to give you some strength that you haven't had. You've been running out of gas. I'm going to give you the strength. And in addition to that, I'm going to move into your life. I'm going to start helping you in ways that you haven't really understood how I can be a help to you. Surrender. Fear not. Don't surrender to the fear. Surrender to the one who's with you. Don't be dismayed. Know that he's... Well, don't surrender to disappointment, discouragement, any of that stuff. God says, I'm your God. Who do you think I am? I'm raised from the dead. I broke the power of death. If I can do that, you're a piece of cake. Well, this verse talks about... These are the ones that are sown on rocky ground, and the ones when they hear the word, they hear the word. Immediately they receive it with joy. Immediately they receive it. They're happy to start with, but they don't have any depth. There's no depth of soil. They have no root in themselves. No root in themselves. And they endure for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. The word fall away there is the word scandalizo. It's where we get the word scandalous. You know what the word scandalizo means in the Greek language? It means to be offended. It means that a trap was set and you go... And you know one of the sad things that I see is a person gets so excited, but they have no depth. They have no discipline. They have no root in themselves. They get excited about the gospel. They're lightweight people. They're superficial people. They'll be in the house to be all about that, but when they're out somewhere else, they're all about whatever that is. There's no root, see. And so what is you're excited and all their excitability, and as long as I've even heard people say, if you have to create a carnival atmosphere in your church to attract people, you have to keep a carnival atmosphere in your church to keep them. Well, we're not going to start doing that. I'm not going to eat fire. You know, I'm not doing that stuff. I'm not going to... We're not going to do the trapeze. We're not doing any of that stuff. We're going to say, Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We're going to stay real basic on who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for you. And he has the ability to lift you out of horrible situations and establish your feet in a good, solid place. How many of you have helped so far? There's some of you, there's a long way he's going to be taking you. And there's just, as the more you go, the less stuff's going to fall off. There are things that you thought you couldn't do, and you'll start be able to do them. There's stuff that you, I'm telling you, do I need to stay on this? I love it. Someone in the front row said, don't look at your notes, just let her rip. Everybody say tribulation. Tribulation is pressure. It means pressure comes on you. Anybody got pressure? Anybody got pressure? Pressure comes on you. What do you do when you're under pressure? What do you do when your pressure comes down? Where are you going? Where are you going when pressure comes? Where are you going? Where are you going when pressure comes? Where are you going? In the past, you went somewhere to relieve the pressure. Was it the Lord or was it something else? What is the pattern in your life when you're under pressure? When you're under pressure, is there a secret life nobody knows about but you and that thing that happens when you try to comfort your own soul apart from God? Because when you have no root in yourself, you begin to go that direction. Does that make sense? Or persecution. These are days when I don't want to get into all of it, but man, there's the Christians are being killed all over the world, all over the world, all the time, all over the world. And it's just sad. It's just heartbreaking. And it's becoming more and more unsafe in our own, depending on what state you're in. Is that right? Come on. And that's a pressure when you're persecuted. Now, let me just go ahead and tell you this. I just need you to know this. Jesus Christ loves sinners. Apostle Paul, after he'd been being an apostle for quite a while, he said, he loves sinners whom I am chief. He called himself the chief of sinners when he'd been walking with Jesus for a long time. He wasn't a religious type person that thought he was better than people. He realized the closer he got to the Lord, the more he needed the Lord. And Jesus says some stout stuff, and the Bible says some stout things. And people say, you're on the wrong side of history. And I say, you're on the wrong side of eternity. Because eternity belongs to Jesus Christ. And you're going to face him face to face. And you're going to reconcile all your living by looking right at him. He's going to have some things to explain to you. So it's best to get your roots down in Jesus Christ. I said it's best to get your roots down in Jesus Christ. What are the habits and patterns of your life? Are you just going to be like the tumbleweed and blown away? Or are you going to get your roots down in the Lord? What's that look like? Let's see, go ahead back to that one with the picture. Excuse me, go back to the Charles Spurgeon quote. Here we go. Now mark this, with a genuine Christian, there is always as much underground as there is above ground. That underground work is often very much neglected, but is exceedingly important. Indeed, it is essential. Can we read that again? Now mark this, with a genuine Christian, there is always as much underground as there is above ground. That underground work is often very much neglected, but is exceedingly important. Indeed, it is essential. Let's go ahead and show the next picture behind this one. There you go. This is what's really going on with a tree and a root system. This is not a tumbleweed. This is actually a root system of a tree. What are these roots doing? You don't see them. You don't see them. What if you're in a family and there's one person that's deeply rooted? They're deeply rooted in the things of God. They love the Word of God. They walk with God. Maybe it's the dad. Maybe it's the mom. Deeply rooted in the Lord. And then that person's gone. What happens to the rest of the family? Were they tumbleweeds? There's families where when the righteous one's gone, everybody goes the way of the world. How about in a church? How about in a business? What if you're employed by somebody that's really right, just got roots down in the Lord, and then you move on to another job, and now you're with a bunch of people that are just as worldly as again. Did you have any roots? Did you grow in the Lord? Do you have any stick-to-itive stuff with Jesus? Do you have any convictions developed about who he is? Is anybody still happy to be here today? It's right, huh? It's true. And I could get different testimonies up here. Here's the point of all this. You can develop roots in Christ. You don't have to be a tumbleweed believer, even if that is a thing. You don't have to be a person blown about by everything that's in the world. You can get your roots down in Christ. Okay, let's go ahead and look at fill in the blank number two. What does a root system disciple of Jesus look like? Here's this question. How do you transform a person with rocky soil, a turbulent upbringing, a person with no root in themselves into a person with good soil? How do you transform rock soil person with a turbulent upbringing into good soil? And the answer is develop. Everybody say develop. Roots into the hidden graces. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Hidden graces. The hidden graces. The cultivation of the inner life Everybody agree that a root is something that's underground? You can't really see it, right? Sometimes you can. They grow above ground sometimes. Right? So what we have here? I have a little list of things here. This is a hidden grace. It's on your list there. Secret communion and prayer with God. How many of you have secret communion? Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's there. You're all alone. What's going on in your life? In secret, behind the scenes, nobody's there. Is there a heart that pursues loving God, walking with Him, being His? Here's a big one. Secret repentance. I recently was thinking about this because I know of a person that reads the Bible a lot. But the difficult time repenting. I'm thinking, what Bible are you reading? Does your Bible time give you the personality of Jesus? Does the Holy Spirit deal with your heart? Are you a person quick to forgive? Are you going to forgive people the way Jesus forgave you? Which I think is pretty thorough. And then on top of that, He blesses you. How many of you have been forgiven by Jesus and blessed by the Lord? And then he says, would you go ahead and do that with everybody that's done wrong to you? No. No root in yourself. Offended. Well, they said something I didn't like, so therefore they said something I didn't like. I'm going to leave this church. No root in themselves. No depth of character in the living Word of God. When Jesus is coming back, what in the world is He looking for? Will He find faith in the earth? Will He find people that when the pressure came on, you just turned to the Lord more and more and He cultivated something incredible inside of you? This is an amazing thing, but chastening, just all kinds of pressures. There's an amazing thing that can happen inside of the personality when pressure comes on. There can come a sweetness and a yieldedness to God, a beauty of the Lord's very character rise out of someone who's gone through tremendous adversity. Isn't it amazing? He can do that in you. He can do that in me. Does it feel good? Not to your flesh, but when you make it to the place of your spirit, manifesting the beauty of what God has to flow through you. Here's a secret love pouring out in fervent fellowship and praise. Secret love between you and the Lord. Here's a secret storing in the heart of, the storing of the Word of God in your heart. And this secret sense of relying upon Him when nobody's around. Just relying on the Lord. Now we can help each other in that. But this is how you develop roots in Christ. Let's go ahead and look at the next one and then we'll be done here. Number three, roots seek out nourishment and moisture. There's nourishment in all these things we're talking about. You know, when you got a tree I'm going to show you a picture after you write this down. It's the Lone Cypress on the 17-mile drive near Pebble Beach and all around there. Yeah, we've seen this. Oh, everybody written that down? Let's go ahead and show the picture. This is the Lone Cypress. This thing is thriving in a rock. But the roots have gone down somehow. They made their way. When you are a believer and you're rooted in Christ Jesus, you make sure you get to what nourishes you. And nobody sees that part, but you got something that's so deep in you that goes down and anchors and taps in to the nourishment of your spirit. And all they see is up here. How'd that happen? And there's some harsh winds in that area. I remember seeing the picture. Well, I remember driving by. It was probably half that big. It was a little tiny. I remember seeing. That was years ago, 20 years ago or something. It was this little tiny thing. And if this thing keeps digging, that root system is phenomenal. Where in the world is it getting to? It's just built on a rock, but it's found its way. It's found its way. Everybody say moisture. Do you have a secret worship life where the Holy Spirit brings His presence into the depths of who you are? Do you have the root system that goes to the Word, the promise that you need, and just absorbs the nourishment out of the Word of God that you need at this season of your life? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree who yields its fruit in season. And its leaf doesn't wither, and everything he does prospers. Not so with the wicked. They're like the chaff. They're like the tumbleweed, right? The wind drives it away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, or the sinner sit in the congregation of the righteous. No roots. That verse is all about roots. What are your roots in? I was rooted in bitterness from the painful experiences of the abuse of my past. And the Lord taught me the pathway of forgiveness. And I remember seeing that verse in the Bible, Ephesians 3:14, on down through there. And he talks about being rooted and grounded in love. Man, I wish I had some of that. Guess what I got now? I'm rooted and grounded in love. There's some fruit that comes out. Are you there? Has this been beneficial to anybody? You can make the decision to be rooted in the things of God. It's your decision. Will you make that decision? I want to have the prayer people come on up. We're going to finish the service. I just want to say this. The starting place, there's always a starting place, isn't there? You know what the starting place is? We're here, still here, hello. The starting place, what's the starting place? You meet somebody. God has this passion in his heart that Father God wants you to know his love, but because he dwells in an unapproachable light, you can't get to him. He's come to us by Jesus. And Jesus has come down and made God accessible. And so you begin to have a relationship with Jesus, then you begin having a relationship with the source of the love of the universe, and you open to him, and that's where your roots begin to get down into. He said that if with your mouth you confess that he's Lord, with your heart you believe that Jesus has raised him from the dead, and when you believe with your heart, you're justified. When you confess with your mouth, you're saved. And if you've never said to the Lord, I need to be saved. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe that he's risen from the dead. How simple is that? And for some reason, he just limits that to the simplicity of that. When you say that with your heart and open to him, life goes in. That's the seed that he was sowing. Will that bounce off the hard soil? Will that be short-lived in the rocky soil? Or will it find good soil and go into your heart? Let's all stand together. I want to give you an opportunity. Honey, go ahead and finish this.
For most of us here today, we've initially received the Lord in our hearts. If you have not, please don't leave here today if the Lord is tugging on your heart. But I don't know about you, but would you repeat after me? Lord, make me good soil. Make me good soil. Don't you want to be good soil? Yeah. I want to be good soil. Well, loved ones, God's the creator, right? He created everything. So don't you think he could create good soil in you if you asked him? So just simply ask him, Lord, create good soil in me. You're the creator. I can't do that. Now, I'm going to do what Pastor showed on there. I'm going to read the word. I'm going to get close. I'm going to do all those things that he said on that piece of paper. But, Lord, create that in me. Even if you do those things, honey, he still needs to create. You need to ask him, create it. You're the creator, and I'm yours. So if in any way, shape, or form, you really think you can do any of this on your own, loved one, you're hearing the wrong message, because you can't. But he can in you, and you don't belong to yourself anymore. If you gave your heart to him, he is in you now, and he can make all things new. He can resurrect your lousy past, because he did it for me and for him and a bazillion other people in here. Can you say amen? Amen. We love you. You're more than welcome to fellowship with us for coffee. But don't leave here if you just need, and by the way, if you think, well, I don't want anybody to see me. Trust me, loved one, nobody cares. We all have our own stuff. You know, just come. Let us help. If we can help, the Holy Spirit will help us help you. But be in love with him. Ask him to create that love inside of you. He is creator, and he'll do it for you.
You're dismissed. Let's love on each other.